A very warm welcome, everyone, to this seminar at Multiply 2021. This is the second seminar of the afternoon in the Big Picture stream. And if you want to check you're in the right seminar, this one is all about being in a mixed ecology church. And if you stay with us to the end, you'll find out all about what that means. If you want to stay on this stream after this session, you're very welcome. We're going to be looking next at the power of networks, that support networks for church plants and fresh expressions. Before we begin, let me tell you a few practical things. Some of you will have already picked this up by now, but we're going to be recording this session, and that means it will be available to watch via the digital platform, CCX Media, that's been mentioned all morning. There'll be lots of amazing videos there, so do check them out, and you can listen to something as many times as you want. As you'll have noticed, the only people visible in this session will be the four of us. And if you post a question in the question box later, it won't be visible in the recording. And also, only your Christian name will be mentioned. I just say those things for GDPR purposes. To ask a question today, please put it in the question box, not the chat box, if that's okay. And if you see a question very similar to what you were going to ask, just like it, and that will hopefully move it up the box and there's more chance of us getting a chance to see it. Please do share anything that you find interesting, informative. If there are any brilliant quotes that come up in this session, please do put those in the chat box, or you could also share them on various social media places. I'm Rhiannon. I'm your host for this session. I'm the Archdeacon of Ipswich, and I'm the director of Inspiring Ipswich, which is a project all about making disciples and developing a mixed ecology of churches. So I'm very excited by this session this afternoon. With me today, we have a speaker and two panelists who I'm going to ask to introduce themselves just briefly to us now. Mike, Bishop Mike, we've got too many mics in this room, but Bishop Mike, could you kick us off? Tell us who you are.
So thanks, Rhiannon. I'm Mike Harrison. I'm the Bishop of Dunwich, which is a little village on the east of Suffolk, but I have responsibility across Suffolk with the other bishop, and I work closely with Rhiannon on mixed ecology. And I'm also the de facto bishop for the pioneers across the Church of England here in England. And so obviously work with them on matters to do with mixed ecology.
Brilliant. Thank you. Mike Moyner, who are you?
Thanks, Rhiannon. I've spent the last 20 years writing about and researching fresh expressions of church. I'm based here in Oxford. I'm a consultant to the Church of England Greenhouse Initiative and also to the Oxford Diocese New Congregations Programme.
Superb. Thank you. And last but not least, Dave, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Rhiannon. Dave Mail. I'm a director of the Evangelism and Discipleship team for the Church of England. I'm involved in developing the national vision and strategy, part of which is mixed ecology as the norm. And previously, I've been a pioneer church planting and training pioneers as well.
Superb. Thank you. In a minute, we're going to hear from Mike Harrison, and then we'll hear from T'other Mike and from Dave before we turn to a chance for us to have a conversation together and some questions. So we've got lots of delegates here. We would love you to start posting things in the questions and the chat. Remember to keep them separately as we go through, and it would just be great to have those, and then we'll respond to as many as we can afterwards. So Mike, over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhiannon. So what I'm going to talk about is what the mixed ecology is, why it's needed, and how we develop it. If you've come here hoping for going green tips, I'm sorry, it's not like that. And if you're thinking exotic flora, fauna, and vegetation, I'm afraid this will be a letdown. But if you're thinking it has something to do with various ways of doing and being church, then you're on the right track. But first, let me give you an example of what it looks like. Let me tell you about a rural cluster of churches, 5 minutes drive from where I'm speaking to you today, South Hartismere. Here we have a number of regular churches. They're doing pretty well. Indeed, some of them being revitalized. One of the churches in a little village called Mellis, which had been all but closed, gathering cobwebs, held its first Christmas service there for 20 years last Christmas. There is a cafe church in the cluster, which is building on relationships created through weddings and funerals and baptisms and other informal connections. There's a messy church tapping into good relations with church schools. There is an online church through Zoom, which has actually led on to outdoor church or wild church, as it's known. And there are a number of small missional groups, part of a wider diocesan project called Lightwave, groups beginning to generate fresh expressions and pioneers and different pathways into church. One person who's taken such a pathway is Emma, and she started turning up at the odd fresh expression type initiative a few years ago with her children. She didn't become a regular churchgoer, but Julia, the vicar, noticed her interest and invited her to be part of a missional group's basics course. Since which time, Emma has become part of that missional group and is now working on the interface between church and school to promote links and outreach. And she is absolutely passionate about the possibilities of Christian faith among her peers. In fact, she's become our latest rural outreach pioneer. So this cluster of churches in South Hartismere is an example of a rural set of churches taking a mixed ecology approach. The mixed ecology is about providing different ways of doing and being church to make Christian worship, Christian teaching and Christian community accessible to as wide a cross-section of our population as possible. You may say, this is nothing new, and you're absolutely right. It's nothing new in one sense. Over the years, many existing churches have had different kinds of services and activities in different locations, which attract different groups of people. Just think about it. All age services, seeker services, guest services, Book of Common Prayer, Holy Communion service, sung matins, choral evensong, youth services. Heck, I live in a building here that is a testament to the mixed ecology approach, a converted mission hall built in 1907 here in Suffolk. But what the mixed ecology approach does is it takes this further and broader and considers what ways of doing and being church provide the fewest barriers to people dipping their toe, to inquiring and engaging in Christian community, Christian worship. And underneath this approach are some sobering assumptions. First, the fact that 92 to 94% of our population in the UK have no involvement with Christian community or church. Second, that existing church just doesn't seem to cut it for large parts of our population. And even if the heating is fixed, the coffee is improved, and the sound system works effectively, even then, many will not consider coming through the doors. While time-honoured church continues to be deeply meaningful and a wonderful way of developing as Christians for some, for many it's a non-starter. And we need to think creatively, imaginatively, and boldly if we are to reach others. And third, we are called to proclaim the gospel afresh to every generation, as widely as possible, not to a small select band who happen to like certain ways of worshipping and meeting. Now, I should say that none of this means giving up on the way we do church now. The mixed ecology is not taking the place of existing church. The parish system works wonderfully well for some, but for others, we need to consider different ways of providing accessible, engaging Christian community. At present, I'm working with Dave and others in the Church of England on how we can provide at least one such way in for every person in our land, whether that's via a geographical parish church, or via social networking, or via school and work, or via digital means, or others. It's about being local, local to people in whatever way local means to them. To give you another example of the mixed ecology from my own context here in Suffolk, since 2019, we've been developing across the countryside small missional groups which gather together for a focus on the four W's: welcome, worship, word and witness, specifically being outward focused and being accountable to one another for how in our daily lives, individually and as a group, we can share in God's sending love. The values we espouse in these groups are A, B, C, D, E. A for all involved, B for becoming disciples, C for creating community, D for doing evangelism, E for encountering God. And in different ways, all of these are outward focused. To some extent, it's easier for a new group to be outward focused because its whole DNA starts off with this in mind, reaching out to others. But make no mistake, developing this outward focus is challenging to every one of us. All the time, the system we have built up has been constructed the way it has because it suits us, the in crowd. It suits us. We're comfortable with it. It fits me. To turn outwards, to be outward focused, to seek wider participation and involvement that isn't about absorption, but about engagement, this is going to make for disruptions. Disruptions such as sometimes foregoing our tastes in worship for the sake of others, sometimes teaching and training differently to include the differently skilled, sometimes giving and receiving hospitality to and from those who are genuinely strange to us. And to understand all of this as part of our growth together in Jesus' way. Frankly, it can be painful at times, but these may well be growing pains. The good news in Suffolk is that after 2 years, we now have 25 plus Lightwave groups, and they are generating pioneers and fresh expressions and church hubs. So enough then about what a mixed ecology is. Why is it needed now? And the first thing to say here is it appears that God is on the move. And one of the ways God is blessing the church presently is through different ways of being church, not least fresh expressions such as messy church, cafe church, child-focused church, and church plants. In fact, the research points to how these days may be the days of small things, where growth comes through the aggregation of small initiatives within a mixed ecology that amount to considerable reach into what is new territory for the church. If we are discerning the hand of God in this, and many of us are, then it would seem right and proper to join in with God's work and go with the grain of God's grace. Another reason for the mixed ecology now is that no one can fail to notice that the church in Western Europe is in decline in terms of numbers, and that in particular, the numbers of young people and children involved in church is dropping rapidly. A mixed ecology approach where there's a dedicated focus on worship and ministry and mission, which is contextually sensitive to the needs of particular missing groups, for instance, in terms of informality, depth of community and common interests. All this makes sense as a way of addressing the church's blind spots demographically and culturally. And finally, how then do we develop a mixed ecology? And there's all sorts of levels to this question: what the national church needs to do, the region, the local church, the individual Christian. As individuals, if you're interested in how you can be involved, check out the Godsend app, which has some good ideas. As individuals and as a church, check out the Fresh Expressions website, which has real stories and good examples. To develop the mixed ecology, we need to be attentive to God's movement among us, attentive to people's spiritual yearnings, attentive to the opportunities arising. And we need to be experimental. We are in a new missional era and no one has the roadmap, so we need to try different things and anticipate both failure and success. There are some remarkable success stories. But if we believe, as I certainly do, that our God gives us all the gifts we need to participate in God's mission, then these blessings are but the tip of the iceberg, and there's much more to be discovered, discerned, and developed. And that takes experimentation. And along with experimentation, we need to be adaptable. Adaptable and agile in fast-moving contexts, just as South Hartismere Cluster of Churches demonstrated that in accommodating Emma in ways that resonated and engaged her, leading to fruitfulness. There's a place here for small and large, for the church plant as much as for the small fresh expression, for the redwood as for the rose bush, and a need for them to work together. And finally, if this mixed ecology is to develop in ways which realise its promise, it must be undertaken at scale. To implement South Hartismere's example across the country will require the raising up, identifying and ongoing development of many leaders, church planters, pioneers, chaplains and the like. And what will prevent the development of a mixed ecology are a number of potential stumbling blocks. Just to mention three, first, allowing the hungry beast of church business as usual to absorb all our energy and attention. Second, focusing mainly on those already in the church and failing to turn outwards to others. And third, fears of the unknown, of losing control or of the other, and so on. Much over which we might stumble, but equally well, lots of good practice to build on. Green shoots are already here, whether in diversified parish ministry connecting to a range of different communities, in the expansion of resource churches and church planting, in fresh expressions and pioneering initiatives of various kinds. Recent research shows that a mixed ecology approach makes a significant difference in extending the missional reach of the church, in engaging underrepresented groups, and in revitalizing existing parish churches. But it takes time, it takes determination, and it takes leadership. Thank you for listening, and please pray for this work.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going to ask just for a few minutes each for Mike Moyner and then Dave Mail just to respond to what they've just heard. Mike Moyner first. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bishop Mike. I thought that was terrific and would want to underline all that you've said. But let me just add one thing. It can be really easy to do this. Just imagine that you're coming out of lockdown and in your parish or church, before lockdown, you used to run a luncheon club for older people who didn't normally attend church. You could reopen that luncheon club, but on a slightly different basis. You could invite everyone to come to lunch as they were before, perhaps every week. But at the end of the lunch, you could invite those who want to stay behind for 10 minutes of spiritual headspace. If they don't want to stay behind, that's fine. But those who want might gather around a table. You might light one or two candles. You might play some Christian music. You might read a passage from scripture or from some other spiritual writing. You might have a few moments of silent headspace, say a few spoken prayers, 10 minutes in all. You can start that easily. No pressure. No one has to come. Now, just imagine you do that. Perhaps after a few months, someone in the group says, you know, can we discuss these spiritual readings? I don't really understand them and I'd love to talk about them. So you put in another 10 or 15 minutes. You're now having 25 minutes where you're based on scripture, praying together, listening to some Christian music. What have you got? You've got a little worshiping community emerging adjacent to that luncheon club as part of your local church's life. Now, you could do that with almost any parish activity, whether it's a craft group, a bereavement group, lots of different activities. You could do the same thing, adapting the principle of a spiritual extra, just so it suits the particular people involved.
Mike, thank you. And some people in the chat have said they're going to do it already. Wonderful.
Great. Go for it.
Dave, over to you. You're on mute.
Oh, classically unmute now. Thank you. Yes, I mean, not much more to add. I want to emphasise, I think, what Mike was saying about that this is very much about how can we reach the whole of our population, and we need more than one method to do that. But that also it is very local. It is contextual. And I've seen people already asking questions at the, you know, is this the level of deanery or whatever? I mean, this can be the level of your street. That's where I'm thinking of developing it through the contacts I've already made. And we're beginning that. It can be in your village and we've started that, but you know, it can be across the town. It operates because it is so easy in one sense. It operates at every level where God is at work you begin to see that his spirit is at work, and you start to build relationships with people, and through that begin to develop church. The second, I've seen lots of people say it, and I think this is true, you know, what's the relationship between traditional and non-traditional parish church and Fresh Expressions? And I think it is about partnership. And we need to see that we're all working for the same thing. This isn't trying to do different things. This is about trying to do the same thing. But it is difficult, let's be honest, at times it can be very difficult for people to understand what others are trying to do. And I think that's where the kind of narrative comes in of this, of saying, actually, we're all about the same thing, about being church for our local community. And it's recognizing that there's both unity, there's one church, but there's diverse ways of doing it. And that, I think, is the challenge for people to understand. There's not just one way, and there never has been. As Mike said, this isn't a new thing. You know, this has been going on and on and on. And then the last thing I just want to say is, I think this is also about imagination, of saying, why not? Why couldn't we think about doing this in our streets, or in my workplace, or in my sports club, or wherever it could be, and actually having the imagination and finding the lots of stories, as we've been hearing, of other people who are doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got some great questions in the question box now. Keep them coming. Thank you, everyone. Keep the chat going. Just a question to our panelists before we go into the official questions that have come in. Some people secretly think, but probably wouldn't ever say, that like Fresh Expressions are better than church plants, or others say that church plants are better than Fresh Expressions. What's your take on this? You know, some people say that they're all the same anyway, and does it matter? Anyone want to have a go at that one? Mike Harrison.
I think was it St. John of the Cross that said any two people only share half the pathway that they take to God? In other words, we all take different pathways towards God because we're all unique individuals. And actually, there need to be different pathways for different people and different ways in for different kinds of people. So this is simply acknowledging that diversity and trying to coordinate our response to it. To regard church plants and Fresh Expressions as in some ways rivals, or to polarize them, is unhelpful, because what's clear is that they are living and vital pathways for people to come to Christ and live their lives in Christ for different kinds of people. And what's more, where it works really well, you see there being some mutual learning from one another here. And that's absolutely critical. And, Rick Thorpe, who's Bishop of Islington, who's very, very keen on church planting and resource churches, is absolutely aware of this and wants to see, wherever there's church planting happening, that actually there are multiplying Fresh Expressions coming out of that context, because he's conscious that, you know, we need to reach people who, for one reason or another, might not like the big match atmosphere, or however it is that church plants are organized.
Thank you. Right, we're going to go to our question box, and we've got a question from Fiona with seven people having liked it. And the question is this: how can we ensure existing, more traditional congregations are engaged and supportive of pioneering approaches? How can we ensure existing, more traditional churches are engaged and supporting of pioneer approaches? Who'd like to have a go at that one? Push your mic again.
Well, I mean, I don't want to hog it. I think just really, and then I'll hand over to Dave or Mike. It's the example of Emma, I think, is a lovely one. You know, simply for Emma to tell her story to a traditional congregation will win hearts and minds. I think it's simply witnessing and testimony is a really important way of showing this works. And how could we possibly, as Christians, not want to be anything other than fully on board with it? So that'd be one way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it is the kind of narrative that, as I said earlier, that you're telling about what you're trying to do and why you're trying to do it, that you're not trying to create another, you know, church in opposition, but actually you're all trying to do the same thing. And I think what Mike said is really helpful about how can you share stories. And the other thing is, how can you both be praying for each other? I think there's a key in the word mixed. This isn't kind of they're two different things running alongside each other. They are the same thing. So I think prayer is one of the great ways that there can be that kind of sense of mutual support.
Thank you. We're going to move on. A question from Ben, with lots of other people agreeing. Hi, guys. In the Church of England, and I'm sorry to anyone who's a delegate here and not in the Church of England today, but many of us are, in the Church of England, would you say the deaneries are the primary way in which these mixed expressions relate and work together? If so, how can the deanery infrastructure improve? If not, how? That's quite a big question, but if we could have a couple of thoughts on that, that would be great.
Well, shall I kick off with that? Yes, I think the research shows, and certainly my own observation confirms this, that most of these new Christian communities that are emerging are actually emerging at the local church level. And the sort of examples that we've heard already this afternoon would illustrate that. So I would just start with what you've already got. You know, what's already going on in your local church? You know, what outreach initiatives have you got? How can you build on those? Add in a little spiritual extra. If there are one or two people in the congregation who are really wanting to start something new, encourage them, fan that enthusiasm. And then there's Dave and Mike have said, tell their stories, because that's what's going to convince the congregation. You know, I always say to people, it's not head first, it's feet first. So let people see what's going on the ground, and that will convince them. If you're in Church of England and you're jumping parish boundaries and so on, then yes, a deanery level conversation is totally appropriate. And so there will be some initiatives that will be, and we know of quite a few, that will come out of a deanery setting as well. So like all these things, it's both and, not either or.
Thank you. Question from Craig. Craig and others are saying, how can we truly offer a mixed ecology when we don't currently have a theology? Where we don't currently have a theology to offer Holy Communion online. Dave, you're nodding. Can we get something from you on that?
Well, no, I was only thinking we should ask the bishop for some judgment on that. Hi, Craig. One of the things I'd say is, one of the dangers that we think this is a question of our time, when actually for a lot of people there's been online church for the last 10 years and they've had to think through this issue and work out what might be an appropriate way of working. And I think for the future it is something we need to kind of continue working on. But I don't know, Mike, if you've got Mike Harrison, I should say, if you've got any thoughts on this.
Well, I'd love to venture further than the present theology of the Church of England on this. it's hazardous ground so to do. I think there's work being undertaken here. I'm not quite sure I heard the question exactly, but whatever the situation with where we are in terms of offering Holy Communion at the present time online, I don't think that should prevent us from developing Christian community that is in many different ways centered on Christ, whether that's digitally and elsewhere, which are actually responding to the needs and the appetites of people who aren't going to darken the doors of existing church. I think there is work to be done on that. I'm hoping that work will be, I know that some people are working on it at the present time, but you know, certainly in terms of the church's understanding of communion, that actually at communion itself we are communing with the body and blood of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. One could imagine that the power of the Holy Spirit is not prevented by something being digital. So I'll just leave it there in case I go so far as to want to correct the Eucharistic theology of the Church of England.
And remember, it's being recorded, Mike.
Rhianna, can I just add something? If you're a lay person and you're struggling over this question of what we do about Holy Communion, whether it's online or offline, what you can do is to offer a remembrance of the Last Supper or an agape supper. And you can do that. And what you have to say, if you're in the Church of England, is to preface what you do by saying, this is not Holy Communion as we normally understand it in the Church of England. If you make that absolutely clear, and then you have an informal remembrance of the Last Supper, this can be seen as a pathway, a step, if you like, towards Holy Communion and something that's worthwhile in itself. So you might want to think about that.
Very practical. Thank you. We've got a question from Peter. I think might be a quick one, but it's a very important one. This whole area used to be called a mixed economy, but now it seems to be called a mixed ecology. Is there a difference?
Not really. I mean, mixed economy was a language that I think actually the previous Archbishop of Canterbury came up with. And I think there's just a realization that economy does sound all a bit kind of business-like and stuff, and ecology just feels a better way of thinking about it in the sense that, you know, a forest has a mixture of ecologies within it and different plants and space, and they depend on each other. So I think there was just a feeling that this is a better type of language than the kind of business economy language that we used previously. But in many ways, it's very similar.
Mike Harrison.
And if I could just piggyback on that, it's interesting the recent enthusiasm with which rewilding the church and Steve Aisthorpe's work has gone down. And one of the reasons that metaphor has worked is because there's an analogy here that just as nature has a power if we don't get in the way, so too when you talk about ecology rather than economy, you're not talking about just human agency, which you can do with the economy, but the analogy with the creative power of creation and behind it, the creative power of the creator. So I think, you know, without wanting to stretch it too much, mixed ecology invites an understanding that is welcoming the divine agency as being primary, and we are kind of participating in it rather than an economy, which is something we construct of our own accord.
Thank you. We've got 3 or 4 minutes left of questions. I'd love us to have 30, 40 minutes left, but here's another one. It can feel though as we're being asked to do all this, get new churches started, I guess, on top of what we're already doing. How do you help churches to let some things die to enable new things to spring up? Very good question.
Well, to be honest, if I were to start that off, I've been a parish priest, and I know that letting things die is really difficult and it's painful, and there are all sorts of groupings of people who have their own identities at stake in the thing that you might want to think of dying. So I wouldn't ask that question. I would ask a different question. I would say, what are we already doing that we can build on? So, you know, in the examples that I gave, whether it's a bereavement group with people outside the church. But let me give you another example. If you're a minister, one of the things in the Church of England, one of the things you will be doing is lots of funerals. So what you could do is on every funeral visit, if it's appropriate, you could invite the family to a little group that you started on your sitting room. You might call it a new life group, you might call it a spirituality group, and you could say to members of the family, if you want to come and join us, why don't you do so? And you might have one or two in the first year, and another one or two in the second year, and another one or two in the third year. By the end of year 5, you've probably got about 10 people in your sitting room for an hour's little sort of a discussion group based on scripture. And you've got a new little worshipping community emerging there. You haven't had to drop anything. All you've done is to make more of the opportunities that you already have. And that's the question I'd be asking if I was in a parish. What opportunities do we have? What are we already doing? And how can we build on them?
Thank you, Mike. Dave, do you want to add anything?
Not particularly to that. I think Mike is right. I mean, I've seen someone say in the chat about, you know, coming from parishes, and the research shows 90% of fresh expressions and church plants come from local church or parish church if you're within the Church of England. And I think if you're the leader, it's about how do you encourage people in the relationships that they already have to develop those kind of things Mike's saying. When we planted the church in Huddersfield, we had a thing which said minimize meetings, maximize relationships. And I think that would be the one of the things we could drop is a lot of our meetings.
Bishop Mike, and then we're going to ask our panelists to finish off and round up for us. Thank you.
Yeah, I think just the other thing I'd add is that my observation from the Lightwave groups is that there are people out there who are kind of on the edge, but who are looking to be involved in this kind of way and are willing to be involved. So it's not as if that we're talking about hard-pressed church wardens who drop everything in order to start a messy church. In fact, actually, you know, if, as I believe, you know, God gives us all the resources to undertake the mission that God wants with his church, then actually, you know, there are people out there who may be just waiting for this opportunity. And certainly, as I say, we found that with the Lightwave groups we've been engaging in.
I don't know where that's come from. I know where.
And here they come now, Rhiannon.
Mike's having a party after this. We're all going
Rhiannon
there.
Knows exactly who that was.
We're not invited. That's the annoying thing. Thank you so much. Thank you, delegates, for all those fab questions. Sorry if you didn't get yours answered. Do take it to the one of the social media places, and hopefully someone will come on that and address that with you. Let's have up to a minute from each of our panelists, perhaps starting with Mike Harrison, just to hear your final thoughts, and then we're going to wrap up. Thank you.
I think I just want to piggyback on what Mike said earlier on, which is it can be really very straightforward just to take the next step on this. And maybe that's what needs to be taken, the next step, not to think about, you know, how do we get a panoply of different versions of church to appeal to this vast cross section of our community? But what are the relationships in which we're already set, and how can we actually make that a set of relationships that actually is an opportunity for us to gather together, which is enriched by a spiritual dimension. And as I mentioned earlier, places like the Godsend app, really helpful. And the work of, I have to say, authors such as Dave Mail and Michael Moyner on this stuff provide some really good concrete examples to follow. So don't be intimidated by the scale of the challenge, but just take the next step.
Mike.
Okay, first of all, the FX Godsend app is also available as a book, A Godsend, which you can get from Amazon. It costs you just a few pounds. Secondly, there is a new resource that's just going live called Sharing Jesus. It's www.sharingjesus.life, and it contains cartoon animations suggesting these very simple steps that you can take to share Jesus with people who don't come to church. And it also has little video stories of people who've tried these ideas and found that they work. Someone this morning said to me, I've just looked at that resource, Mike. It's absolutely brilliant. It uses language that I've never come across before. And it's the sort of thing that I can go and do this afternoon. So if that helps you, think about sharing Jesus in a 21st century way, www.sharingjesus.life.
Thank you. Dave, last word.
Yes, Peter Plummer, you should already have the book, so I'm not offering you any discounts. I wonder, we probably haven't said much about opposition. I noticed a number of people in the, you know, were saying, well, what about my vicar doesn't want me to do this, PCC doesn't want me to do it. I would just want to encourage you to get on with it. And particularly if you're a lay person, it's much easier than being a clergy person. And just do it, and do it in a way that is gracious and positive. But actually, there is an urgency of our missionary situation.
Thank you. Thank you to all our panelists today. Thank you to our delegates for everyone's thoughts and wisdom and insight. Coming up next on this stream, we have Nikki Sims, David Mitchell, and Archie Coates, and they're going to help us think through the power of networks. How church planting networks can empower and help us to grow, and how we can set up a network from a single church plant. Alternatively, you might want to go onto one of the other streams, and there are just so many fascinating seminars. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. Grab a drink, grab a bit of popcorn. We've got an intermission coming up. Thank you. Bye-bye.